This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. And the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Tom. I'm here with Sam, and come in close. I've got something to tell you. The war's not over. You know, the Corpos and the Krogan. Yeah. Yeah, they're not done. There's more. This is the third part. Sam, we've got more to talk about. We got more war, and I'm sure this is going to be super exciting with even more complexity. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Krogan escaping death.
Cantankerous Krogan versus capricious corporations.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring back our alliteration that was going on. That one wasn't so good. I did that on the fly, but I'll think of some better ones.
It was a good start. It was good on the fly. But we're talking about the war again. We've still got more stuff. In fact, this may not even be the final episode about this because it just keeps going. So why don't we give them a quick little recap in case people are just tuning in for the first time?
Yeah, for sure. So the last we left off, there's this cat and mouse game going on between these corporations trying to take over the Krogan world and Vorcha world of Garvug, and the leader of the Hylot clan, the Hylot Ruined is his name, and he is the leader of their Krogan state forces on Garvug. And so the corporations tried to depose Hylot Ruined through a coup that failed. They invaded. They've failed to track down Hylot Ruined, and he's been very elusive so far.
Yeah, they tried to blow him up, and he was like, wasn't me.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, good going. Anyway, sorry for that other dude you killed.
Sucks for that guy, but you didn't get me.
Yeah, and it's been embarrassing. It's been very embarrassing for these corporations who have, like, infinitely more resources and power and organized militaries, and they can't seem to track down one Krogan.
And not a single one.
And you remember how we talked about how the wider Milky Way media late night talk show sphere was jumping in on this story? Mm-hmm. They did a couple of times before when the war really first kicked off.
Yeah, the equivalent of Mass Effect's Saturday Night Live is doing sketches about it.
Yes, Conan O'Brien or Krogan O'Brien.
Krogan O'Brien! Oh my God, I would watch that. Does he have really big hair somehow? Like it's like a toupee?
It's the faceplate.
It's just a big faceplate. Okay.
Krogan O'Brien has his take on this. Anyway, well, these late night talk shows that actually exist in the Mass Effect universe, they are certainly not going to let these corporations go without a good ribbing because one Krogan in a backwater colony has been outsmarting them at every turn. So Ruined has outwitted these corporations. And here's the first dispatch we get from Cerberus Daily News, which is how we're following along with the story. Mm-hmm. This dispatch says, late night comedians have finally found some humor in the situation on Garvug. Sir Anon, who, by the way, Sir Anon is the Volus late night comedian. Uh-huh. So Sir Anon quipped,
corp experts are saying Hylot Rund will be hiding where nobody's around for kilometers. So they're searching theaters for showings of Taze Patterson.
Zinger.
Cue the...
Right.
Cue the comedian, the canned laughter. Uh-huh. I guess Taze Patterson there is an in-universe film that no one wants to see. So, yeah.
A stinker. Yeah, bombed.
Next up, Unara Tazeli. Sounds a lot like Liara Tassoni. Unara Tazeli, who says, Hylot Rund is well hidden. How well hidden, you ask? While they were looking for him, they stumbled across Aish Ashlyn's missing talent.
What?
Do we have a cricket sound effect?
Wow. These are good ones.
Those of you in the studio, okay, no. Our in-house production team told me no.
Everyone's going to be like, you guys have a production team?
No.
We make so much cash off of everybody listening to this show. We've got like a whole team of talent behind the scenes.
Yeah, there's a clear glass window in front of me where behind that window, that's where our producer sits, mm-hmm. our in-house traffic guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now he's giving us like the sign like that. No, don't talk about us. Cut it. You're off script. Go. Yeah. Get back. Yeah.
Anyway, that's not the only comedian. There's another one who jumps in. Cal DeCosimo takes a political bent.
Oh, he's my favorite. This guy's the best.
It's got a magnificent name. Uh-huh. Cal DeCosimo says, they said they almost killed Hylot Rund this week. He was so close to dead, Lisa Ford said, can I have his job?
Wah, wah.
And that joke right there about Lisa Ford and the President Ford are a reference to the Huerta Memorial Hospital dialogue that you can get in Mass Effect 3. There's an entire storyline that's also within Cerberus Daily News that we will cover at some point. But basically, that's a joke within a joke. Mm-hmm. So that's like, that is an in-universe joke about a separate in-universe thing that's going on that if you were really attentive, you would get.
I'm sure the writers on this are all just like, oh, yeah, I made another reference to another thing, but nobody's going to get it.
You know, I love the references within references here. It's really good world building.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. Even if people don't get it, like the fact that that exists makes you go, oh, well, what else is there? That creation of wonder about the true extent of the depth and the cross references and those kinds of things make things feel more real.
Definitely. And I think as a player, if you already get everything at first glance, there's nothing. It's kind of boring. Right.
Right.
I like the moments where I'm like, I don't get that. And I know it's my fault.
Right. And I love, let's talk about the whole like late night comics sort of thing going on here. The fact that that still happens in Mass Effect, like it makes it feel so relatable, you know?
Yeah. I'm just imagining that there's like a Turian dating a human, and they're both home from work for the day, uh-huh. and they're getting in bed and they're watching Krogan O'Brien.
Right.
And
right. And right.
That's how they're bonded, because apparently this is like a canon practice that both humans and aliens do in the future. Yeah. They still really love late night comedy talk shows.
Oh, and you know that they've got reality shows like The Bachelor season 427. Where like, oh, it's the first time we have a Krogan on as the Bachelor.
<It's> like, Love is blind. Right? Love is blind, but it's Mass Effect. You don't know who you're talking to unless it's a Vorcha, and then you really know right away.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. These crazy pairings. But anyway, I love that we have basically all of our information about this entire war just comes from these like information dispatches that are very one-sided. You know, I mean, Cerberus.
You know where they showed up originally? It was in the very menu, the start menu from Mass Effect 2.
Oh, wow.
In that little laptop thing, if you remember it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little laptop. Yeah, that's where they showed up. And there was varying messages that would, you know, it was revolving slate of messages that would show up. So that's where we have been getting them. But the wiki, the creators of the Mass Effect wiki are masterful because they compiled all of them.
Yeah,
they digitized
great.
Them. They compiled all of them. And so we've been taking these dispatches from there.
That's great. Okay, so what's the next update from the Warfront?
So we get word that apparently there is some outside help coming into the system for the Krogan and the Vorcha.
Finally.
Now, this is something.
Yeah.
This is, yeah, something we were not expecting, something they were not expecting. We thought that everybody in the galaxy pretty much wrote off helping them, but we overlooked at least one group. Here's the next dispatch we get from Cerberus Daily News. Today, corporate forces on Garvug intercepted a shipment of explosives and weapons to the rebel forces on that planet. The weapons, which included surface-to-air missiles, mortars, and small arms, allegedly come from Clan Erdnot on Tuchanka.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Krogan homies coming in. Yeah.
There's Rex, if he was alive, right? But the interesting thing here is, number one, I wanted to point out that Cerberus Daily News is now referring to the Krogan and the Vorcha as rebel forces.
Right. Yeah, right. Like, they were the ones that were attacked. Or they're not rebel. It's not like they're going against the establishment that was already there. They're the ones defending their homeland. Yeah.
Yeah.
That messaging is so backwards.
Very, very sly framing there. But second of all, Clan Erdnot on Tuchanka. I mean, the PR game has apparently attracted enough attention across the galaxy so as to inform Rex, who at this point is the Clan Erdnot chief, if he survived the Mass Effect 1.
Right.
If it's not Rex, I believe it's Reeve, and Reeve still steps in. So that's really cool that they would loop in these characters from within the games, right?
Yeah.
And make sure that they were having some kind of secondary or tertiary involvement in the war.
But it totally makes sense, though, right? Somebody like Rex would see his kind being savagely attacked on their own homeworld and go, well, we have to help. I'm not passing up on a chance to kick some corpo butt. You know, like, yeah. So let's at least send some weapons in.
Absolutely. But you know what? The other thing is, I wonder how much of his time with Shepard would have changed his opinion, changed his personality enough to make him want to step in. Because in the very beginning of Mass Effect 1, he was just a mercenary. He didn't care about anyone else. He was out to cover his own hump, you know.
Yeah.
and he didn't really, you know, stick his neck out for many other people. But then come Mass Effect 2, if he's the clan chief, he has this newfound sense of responsibility. So I could totally see him doing this.
Yeah, yeah. It fits the character arc. Absolutely.
Yeah. But this is if the Cerberus Daily News is to be trusted at all, right? So far, Cerberus Daily News could just be taking a pre-written news report written by the corporations and just running it for them.
Wait, are you saying that news organizations sometimes say things online that were presented to them by other people and then they don't vet the sources and then they get sued for like $750 million?
Has that ever happened before? Perhaps about voting machines? I don't know.
Huh, weird.
But I also know that there's, you know, it's happened in other circumstances where certain news conglomerates will pass on to their local stations that they own things called must runs. This must air.
Right.
But it's not actually written by anyone locally at all. And they don't have any say in changing the verbiage of it or anything like that. And what happens is you get all these different local stations from across the country parroting talking points that were given to them from business leaders at their corporate headquarters.
Yeah, years ago, there were videos that were going around where it was just like a cross section of all the different news, like local stations, all saying exactly the same thing at exactly the same time. Like, it is a little scary.
Yeah, we can thank media conglomeration for this,
right,
by the
absolutely.
Way.
Yeah, this is a media problem. This isn't like anybody who's going to go, oh, you guys are being political. This is across the board. This is an across the board problem. So
and that's what happens when ownership gets hyper-centralized. So anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox. But before I do, if you guys want to support Free Press, support local news. But again, this is if Cerberus Daily News is to be believed. So The reason why I'm saying this is because of what I've already mentioned here, with them framing this as framing the Krogan and the Vorcha as rebel forces on quote unquote that planet.
Right.
It's their home planet.
Right.
And this is very convenient, right? That corporate forces intercepted this shipment of explosives and weapons that were going to the rebel forces. Yet, so they had the advance intel on that, but they didn't have the advance intel enough to track down one Krogan.
Right. It feels like they're trying to save face, right? Like they need some positive spin going on in the news because they've been so, I don't know, incapable of doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's like, okay, well, at least we got this win. Let's put that out there. You think that's probably what's going on?
I think it's highly likely. You know, like you mentioned, like we've said before, they needed a win for their investors because their investors are getting a little bit antsy, right?
Right.
They're not that they these three huge, very wealthy corporations with their own armies cannot track down one Krogan.
One Krogan.
They have been repeatedly embarrassed by this one Krogan publicly. Yeah, they needed to chalk up a win here. And how unverifiable is it for any media organization if this corporation just puts out a release, oh, well, we intercepted this shipment of weapons that was headed to them.
Right.
And, oh, look at this. See, here's the shipment of weapons.
Right, right. All they have to do is take a picture and be like, have previously set it up and be like, oh, well, there it is.
Right, right. Exactly. So, well, let's continue a little bit more on this. You know, these corporations they are very quick to send out one of their people in front of a camera, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the next part of the dispatch. Quote, this was a critical find, said Lieutenant Colonel Iason Riggs of Binary Helix. It's imperative that the galaxy knows we have zero tolerance for those who aid insurgent forces, whether from the Terminus or elsewhere, and we will call out those who act against us.
Insurgent forces.
Insurgent forces. We will call out those who act against us. Mm-hmm. Who the hell are you?
Right. It also seems like they have the definition of insurgent forces backwards. You tell them.
Yes.
You tell them, Oreo. You tell them. My dog wanted to chime in. So.
Down with the establishment, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, these corporations have quite the ego. They are very arrogant. They are the insurgents on this Krogan and Vorcha planet. And yet they have the arrogance and the blindness, or they think everyone else is dumb, because they're putting out this statement that says, well, we have no tolerance for those who aid insurgent forces and will call out those who act against us. The arrogance to say this as if to suggest that your cause is righteous, even when, according to their own corporate spokespeople, it has always been about money and investments.
Right. Yeah, because they're corporations. That's what it's about. It's all just the bottom line. That's it.
But, like, I'm flabbergasted, honestly, that they would have the nerve to act like they're taking the moral high ground, that no one else would be allowed to aid their enemy, when they themselves are like, yeah, we're displacing this planet of Krogan and Vorcha, and anyone that tries to help, we're gonna call you out.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, the other side of this is they clearly understand how powerful propaganda can be.
Yes. Yes, they do. And why do you think that they sent out someone from Binary Helix instead of Sonax Industries? You remember last time we talked, the Sonax Industries PR was super weak.
Oh, so you think this is, they're like, okay, enough with them. Let's try somebody else. Like,
yes.
Yeah, your PR team sucks. We're going to use ours now. That kind of thing.
Yeah. You guys regroup and find some kind of central messaging. In the meantime, Binary Helix, you step in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe.
And then, you know, the whole, this was a critical find, makes me consider whether this was a staged operation, because they're very quick to on the trigger to want to publicize something when they themselves were not too long ago trying to restrict the flow of information through these now monopolized comm buoys outside the world.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so now that Clan Erdnot is part of this, how do they respond?
So it turns out that Clan Erdnot does take credit. They take credit indirectly. Here's the statement that they put out in regards to the Binary here, like basically saying, don't aid our enemies. Erdnot Jat, spokesperson for Clan Erdnot's financial arm on Tuchanka, appeared unimpressed. Quote,
what is Binary Helix to us? Or Sonax? Or Guanghui Solutions? They barely come to our planet, let alone sell anything.
Right? Like, we don't care.
Yeah, translation, LOL, okay. Yeah, we don't care. Huge power move.
Right, yeah, like, whatever. Who are you? Yeah,
yeah. It's a valid point, too. Because Tuchanka has been so ostracized and so shunned from the rest of the galaxy that they really aren't economically dependent on too many other worlds. So they can just have the power to be like, you guys have no pull over our consumer base whatsoever.
Right, right. And to quote a very old meme at this point, new phone, who dis?
Exactly. Right? Like, yeah.
What? Okay.
So I love the Erdnot, the clan Erdnot's, you know, response to that, because it's so irreverent, you know, that they're like, okay, yeah, and... Okay, we're just going to send another shipment because, like, fuck you.
Right, right. Like, we don't even know who you are. So stop killing our people. Thanks.
It's also a very skilled way to call out an obviously empty threat, because the threat from the corporations obviously was, we'll come for you next if you help them. Mm-hmm. But they're calling out the corporation's bluff here and basically saying, oh yeah, why don't you try and invade Tuchanka?
Oh God, that would be amazing. That would be amazing to see how that works out.
You are having the time of your life with a sparsely populated Krogan backwater. Why don't you go ahead and try and invade the Krogan homeworld?
Yeah. Come visit our homeworld. We'll be ready for you. Come on over.
Yeah, they're saying go ahead and see, which is hilarious. And I love the fact that they don't really take direct responsibility for it, but they also don't say that they didn't.
Right. Yeah, they're just like, all right.
Yeah. This dispatch is also the only one in May that the game gives us. So there for a while, there was like an update on this particular storyline going out to players every week, sometimes multiple week. And so for the fans who had the Cerberus Daily News Alerts in 2009, they had to wait like a whole month just to get this next part of the story.
Huh. Huh. That makes me wonder if that was intentional or not. Like if that was... Sometimes these kinds of things are, it's like a meta thing. Like the person was on vacation and so they just didn't make an update, you know, the person who was writing these. But it may have been intentional to be like, okay, things go quiet for a little while in order for new developments to happen. And then we're going to fill people in with that, you know? But I
think it is intentional, and yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Okay. So this whole time they've still been looking for, this one Krogan, Hylot Ruined, right? Like, that they're still looking for him. That's where they're at.
Yeah. And it seems like for at least one of them, they're fighting their own home front battle in their boardrooms and stock markets, and trying to get investors to keep their money in. Right. That seems like it's where the focus is right now for the corporations, although they are, you know, in theory, still trying to find Hylot Ruined. So Sonax Industries is apparently bought out by another company. That company
during the war. Can you imagine being somebody in that other company being like, oh, now's the right time to buy? They're embroiled in this crazy war campaign.
They're buying the dip, you know. Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing. So Sonax Industries is bought out by a company named Umsung Holdings, which sounds like a Korean name.
It's also Umsung. It also sounds like a holdings company that's planning to strip the company and sell them. Right?
It does sound like that. Yeah. It sounds like a hedge fund.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it sounds. Yeah. It sounds like somebody who's not interested in what they do and just interested in, like, you know, feasting on the corpse of whatever's left of this company.
So here's the release as it comes to us. It says Umsung Holdings, and then it gives a stock market code for Umsung Holdings. I love So that's exactly what Bloomberg does in all its articles. But it says Umsung Holdings announced today that it has completed the buyout of Sonax Industries in a friendly takeover.
Friendly takeover.
Friendly takeover.
As opposed to this war. Friends, hey, thanks.
We're invading your corporate offices, but we brought donuts.
We're having a pizza party on Friday.
Cool. Only 40% of you need to leave. So, Umsung will provide approximately 119 billion credits in debt and equity financing for the purchase of the company and future funding commitments. Okay, 119 billion credits. that's kind of easy to be abstract and lost in meaning with Mass Effect because we don't really understand what the value of a single credit is.
Sure, yeah.
However, I looked this up to check comparison. For comparison, the Lazarus Project that revived Commander Shepard, that took over 4 billion credits.
That was a lot. I remember when we discussed that, it was like that was a boatload of money, and everyone was impressed that they had, were willing to spend that much.
Right. So, considering that Umsung Holdings is willing to shell out, well, let's see, that would be almost 30 times that amount.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot more.
Just to buy Sonax Industries.
Yeah.
That should tell you that they believe there is a lot of money to be made here.
Yeah, so I wonder if they've got other plans for the war effort.
I guess we'll have to see. I was curious to see what the total cost of the Crucible project was. I couldn't find that. I couldn't find a number anyway, but I think the Andromeda Initiative was even much, much higher than that. I think it was in the quintillions of credits, if I can remember right.
That's a number I have a hard time picturing in my head. Quintillion.
I agree. I never see that number.
Right.
But anyway, bottom line, this apparent hedge fund company sees such promise in buying Sonax Industries that they're willing to spend 30 times the cost of the Lazarus Project acquire them.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to have to see what happens with this when we get back from the mid-break, because we have to go thank our patrons, and we've got another planet card, so don't go anywhere. Here we go.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are, and we've got a new patron. Welcome to the patron, and I'm not sure exactly how to read this name. It's either Red Trobot or Red T Robot, who just signed up on the Patreon. Welcome. So glad that you are here. And we have to shout out also our Shepherd tier patrons, Draco, Edboy, Kira C, Lieutenant Cicino, Red Trobot. I'm just going to go with that until you correct me. And Superfly and William. Thank you so much for all the support. Wow, lots of Shepherds. There's so many Shepherds on our ship. It's like a mod where you just duplicate Shepherd instead of all the other people. You just have all these Shepherds.
The whole crew are Shepherds.
Right. That mod has to exist somewhere, right? That's got to be a thing. If it doesn't, get out there. Go make a crew full of Shepherds. Thank you. If you are interested in helping to support the show, if you want to get ad-free episodes or t-shirts or stickers, or join us on the Patreon chat, which is coming up in a week from as we record this. It's currently the 23rd. That'll be on the 30th. You're welcome to sign up and join us. We'd love to have you. Also, if you'd like to support the show in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And Sam actually has that up because the app that I've been using is still under maintenance and it's been that way for like the last week and a half. So, Sam, what do we have for new reviews?
That's right. So we got one here from Jericho in the United States. 5 stars, says, my all-time favorite podcast. Review says, this podcast is very well researched and composed. Props to Sam for that. Thank you, Jericho.
Aww.
It's thoughtful and intentional with its time and direction. The way Tom responds to every topic consistently interests me as well. The organic conversations that emerge from each topic are interesting and insightful. Tom and Sam pull in real-world parallels and also contextualize the topic within the greater Mass Effect lore. They have great chemistry together, and Tom is a skillful host who not only asks the planned questions, but expands the topic with Sam. I think this guy's got inside access to our show notes.
He's looking at our show notes right now. What is going on?
What could be a brief codex entry can become an interesting topic that ties into seemingly irrelevant pieces of the series. Like other listeners, Mass Effect as a series truly stuck with me and deeply affected me. Sam and Tom do justice to the branching narrative that persists through 3 games and reinforces my feeling that Mass Effect is arguably the greatest trilogy in gaming. Their passion and intelligence keeps the series close to my heart and on my mind. I hope they don't stop making this podcast anytime soon. With the depth and breadth of the lore and the entertaining and fun way the show tackles it. They have the legs to continue this podcast into the far future when Mass Effect 4, hopefully, comes out. The only thing new or different that I would love is to hear a cut down version of the Patreon episodes with just Sam and Tom talking. The topics are so fun and interesting. Also, that might sound a little odd as we're responding to ghosts who aren't on audio.
That would be a little difficult to make work, but I get where they're going. Because some people prefer certain types of episodes and some people really like other types of episodes. So I get it.
Yeah. The topics are so fun and interesting and the guests are too. I personally just only really liked listening to Tom and Sam. Thanks for the great show, Jericho.
Yeah, that happens. Well, now that we have that review, that was the height of all reviews that we'll ever get, which means it's time to just close down the podcast.
I guess so. Yeah, when there's nowhere to go from there except down, I guess.
Yep.
But we have another review that gives us 3 10 out of 10s. So here it is.
Okay.
It's from SLL58 in the United States, who writes, "Keyless Lie, 10 out of 10 Lorecast, 10 out of 10 hosts, 10 out of 10 content. I've been playing Mass Effect since I was a kid, and I never knew how much I was missing out on. I started Lorecast a little over a month ago, and I'm just now getting caught up. Don't judge, I clean for a living and have nothing better to do than listen to these guys yap about my favorite game. Highly recommend for those who love the game, love the characters, and love the lore. Keep doing what you're doing, fellas. Thanks for making my day go by fast and adding knowledge to my little pea brain."
Oh, thank you so much for those kind reviews. That was so nice, both of them.
Yeah. Thank you, SLL. And I'm certainly not judging. Everyone who makes an honest living, good for you. In any way that we can help you get through your day,
I guess.
It's absolutely really, really nice to hear.
You and I have worked grueling jobs before. We totally get it.
Yes.
So thank you for taking the time to be thankful and to do that back for us. And so we're going to be thankful for you. Also, we have a planet card. Can I go ahead and read this one? And then you can kind of comment on why you included it.
Yes, of course.
All right. So this is Carcosa. Carcosa was thought to be a naturally occurring hothouse planet until an Asari expedition discovered palatial ruins on its barren surface. Likely the seat of an ancient city, the crumbling edifice dates back more than 2.7 million years. The only intact chamber appears to be a throne room overlooking a large depression believed to have once been an enormous lake. There is evidence that the people of Carcosa polluted their planet until it became uninhabitable, triggering a runaway greenhouse effect and spoiling the planet's fresh water supply. Research into the planet's long history will have to wait. Asari scientists evacuated when word of the Reaper attack reached the system, leaving behind data drones to explain their findings to anyone who survives. So that's rough.
Right.
Yeah.
So Carcosa reminds me of Garvug, because if you remember at the very beginning of this series, we're talking about how the Krogan were given this planet as a, quote, bargain world, mm-hmm. which, by the way, giving a race a quote unquote bargain planet just means that no one else wanted it. So that's really a bargain.
It sounds inherently racist. Yes.
Yeah. It's inherently racist. But the Krogan inherited this planet, Garvug, and then they overfished its already very small habitable zone. So then the coral reef population started to collapse.
Right.
And then the marine ecosystem started to collapse. So basically, you know, going back to Carcosa, people there in this ancient civilization polluted their planet until it became uninhabitable.
Right.
Yeah. And looks like Garvug might be on its way there. So it again raises the question, why do these corporations want this nigh uninhabitable planet?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I guess we'll have to find out. But let's continue the conversation. We're gonna head back to the show. Here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right. So Sonax gets bought out. But that also raises questions like, why? What was going on? Was the war that impactful to their bottom line that made them vulnerable? Is there something else going on? Like, what's the deal here?
Right. It's essentially because investors had been watching every time Sonax Commander Lyra Spate would go in front of the camera, give some grandstanding statement about how Hylot Ruined is going to die, but for real this time. Then they'd see, oh, he's alive still, and the war is still going on. Mm-hmm. They're looking around and they're like, yeah, what's to show for my money?
Right. So so they're losing the faith of the investors, the people who are supposed to be making profit off of this engagement.
That's my analysis of the lore anyway, that it looks like investors are backing out. And so here's the next part that we get in the Cerberus Daily News Dispatch, which kind of supports that theory. The move is expected to significantly boost Sonax's share price, which has been falling precipitously after perceived missteps in the war on Garvug. See?
Yeah.
So people were selling.
Yeah. That part is hard to skew. Like, these are the facts. The prices are down low, and so therefore this is what's going on, right? That's a little bit hard to patch up with fake information.
And so, yeah, they were buying the dip. Umsung Holdings was buying the dip. And this dispatch says, asked if new management will result in a change of direction on the planet, meaning change in the war effort, CEO Isil?
Isil?
How would you say this?
Isil?
Isil Re replied, we've conferred with Admiral Spate and see great potential in Garvug. The infrastructure of the occupied areas is unharmed and is beginning to turn a profit. The correct move is not to withdraw, but to commit fully to establishing a permanent peace zone on the planet.
Permanent peace zone.
Sounds giga-fascist.
Yeah. Peace permanent through domination, peace zone. Right? Peace through killing your enemies.
You will be peaceful.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So this is basically, like, in economic terms, this is basically the rich guy rescue strategy for business.
Like, okay.
I don't know if you ever heard that before, but when there's a failing company, then rich guy rescue strategy is like rich guy who really believes in the cause steps in, has tons of money to spare, buys the company in a last ditch effort to try and keep it from, like, continuing to tank.
Yeah.
This has happened with many media companies. It's happened with other companies, too. It almost always doesn't work, by the way, because the rich guy gets bored and is like, wow, this is costing more money than I thought it was. Anyway, I'm done playing with you. So this just means that the owners of Umsung Holdings already agreed with what Sonax and Binary Helix and Guanghui Solutions were trying to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but like the other piece of this is that they specifically note that the occupied areas are unharmed, which seems to lead us to an understanding that that must be the focal point of why they're there. Like, something's going on there, right?
Infrastructure. Yes. Yes. They're finally keying us in on some of the desirable qualities of this planet that they actually wanted and the important parts that they didn't want to destroy. So infrastructure is a pretty broad term, though, so it doesn't really tell us exactly what they want, but we know it's not the people.
Yeah.
Interesting priorities there. And also, I noticed in here that they referred to Spate as Admiral Spate, not Supreme Sonax Supreme Commander Spate, but Admiral Spate.
Huh. I wonder if there was a
new company, new rank structure. I don't know.
Maybe. But both of those are military structures.
Yes.
They are not corporate structures. You would expect something like, you know, CEO or, you know, some sort of manager.
Chief engagement officer.
Something like that, right? Like, but these are like military.
Yeah. Yeah. Compliance officer. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chief compliance officer.
You will comply or we will blow you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So, what do we hear next? Where does this go? Because it doesn't seem like we've been getting very much info from the warfront side of things, just kind of the back end financial side.
Yeah, there's only been like one dispatch in 2 months at this point, like 2 months of real time. And you're thinking, is this because BioWare just didn't have more lore to send out right now?
Right.
Or is timing intentionally slower?
Yeah.
I'm leaning actually toward the latter, that they had all of the writing, but they intentionally timed this out. And here's why. So we talked about that corporate buyout. Well, it takes another full month just to get the next Cerberus Daily News piece on Garvug, and I think there's an in-universe explanation here. The corporations are in control of the comm buoys now.
Right.
So they are controlling the flow of information. Whatever's going on the war front is not exactly favorable to them, and Sonax Industries was already having a struggling share price.
Right.
So they're purposely being quiet.
Yeah.
Yes. All of a sudden, things are a little quieter on the war front. But hey, look at this shiny, look at the shiny set of keys. We got this, you know, new corporate buyout going on. And oh, by the way, you know, there's this other development back, you know. Anyway, so the next Cerberus Daily News piece that we get, it says, Tonight, has the galactic media forgotten the war on Garvug? Corporatist forces have held the colony capital unopposed by state forces for months. Yet still, the Krogan and Vorcha underclass strike back with shooting sprees and skycar bombs.
Skycar bombs. That's exciting.
Yeah. Skycar bombs would be a great... Okay, a Vorcha skycar sounds like a great name for a cocktail, doesn't it?
Or a punk band. Skycar... We're the Skycar Bombs! Like, Vorcha punk
band. Fuck the corporations!
Yeah.
Skycar Bombs!
Yeah. They all have, like, black t-shirts with, like, spray-painted, like, little bomb symbols on it.
It's like an anarchy symbol, yeah. But it's a Vorcha face.
Yes! Yes!
Skycar Bombs!
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so see, it says... Has the galactic media forgotten the war on Garvug? And then it tells us that corporatist forces have held that colony capital for months.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It says...
You think they would report that, right? Like, they would be reporting this, you would think.
Right. So it's been months in-universe and in our own world's time... Since we learned that corporate forces took that capital and Vroon's fortress. You remember we were talking about when they stormed the fortress? And
Yeah.
That it's been months in real time and in game time. So I really think the writers here are timing these releases to go out on the Cerberus network through Mass Effect 2's main menu to coincide with in-universe timing. Thus, we would need an in-universe explanation for why we're getting the comms blackouts.
Right.
And I think it's because of the corporate control over the comms buoys.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay. So where does it go from here?
So it says neither the Krogan or the Vorcha can get close to the fortress-like enclaves where the corporatists have established high security zones for their troops. But it's clear that no civilians are protected, a fact that hurts the corporate bottom line.
Yeah, because that's our main concern. Not
civilians.
Not the civilians, the corporate bottom line.
Well, who are the civilians? Because clearly they're making a distinction here, Cerberus Daily News is, making a distinction between the Vorcha and the Krogan, quote-unquote, rebels, or the corporate armies. No, those aren't civilians. So who are the civilians? Because this is a Krogan... Vorcha world, and all of the natives are being talked about as if they're combatants.
Right. So do you think that they're flying in other people to then live in that land that they've taken so far?
Well, we know other corporations did this in the Mass Effect universe. They would fly in. You remember we were talking about Eldfell Ashland Energy?
Yeah.
How they were like a one-stop shop for all of their corporate colonist needs.
Right.
So I really think that it might be happening. They cared about the infrastructure because they were planning on bringing in workers in civilian colonists. Mm-hmm. And if they're seeing that there are no protections for civilians, quote unquote, who wants to work for them? Who wants to sign up for that?
Right. I also have a feeling that the humans that they would be shipping in are probably not super comfortable in Vorcha houses. Right? Like the infrastructure that was built there is Krogan and Vorcha.
Like what is a Vorcha house? A dumpster?
Right. Like I feel like it's like a cockroach nest or something. You know, like, oh, here's your new home. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that they just sleep in like boxes.
Yeah, yeah. But even the Krogan are probably willing to make do with, you know, caves and whatever else they can work together on this planet that's very sparse with any materials or whatever.
And tough climate. Like, yeah. The humans are going to need more environmental engineering to make this planet's climate more comfortable to live there long term. So if they are bringing in colonists, then yeah, no civilian protections is kind of really hard to convince people to sign up for that job and then send them there, especially if they're skilled laborers too.
Yeah.
So, no civilian protections. Yeah, that's going to hurt the corporate bottom line, especially when investigators get this idea that, oh, they don't have the workforce ready and willing to go there.
Right.
So
right.
It doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, the bottom line, it doesn't sound like they're including the Krogan Vorcha natives in that inclusion of civilians. So mm-hmm. I would have to assume it's corporate colonists.
Right. Okay. So are they still hunting down Hylot Rund? I would assume so.
Oh, yeah, they are. Incursions into the countryside looking for the elusive Hylot Rund have borne little fruit. That's part of the next dispatch. It says, still, Sonax Industries' supreme commander, Lyra Spate, is confident. Okay, so now she's the supreme commander again. And she says, there is a wedge between the Vorcha, who will carry out suicide attacks, and the Krogan, who will not, she says. Every day we find bodies from their infighting. Their numbers are dwindling. Ours are not.
From their infighting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. So, assuming there's even still one person giving Cerberus Daily News this benefit of the doubt and thinking, okay, they're a little unbiased for being Cerberus, let's examine the language again. There's the constant giving free press and publicity to the Sonax Army point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Free platforming for them.
Right.
And the only quotes we seem to get from Hylot Rund are from his public broadcasts.
Right. Which seem to get out whether like Cerberus wants it to or not. So they have to at least acknowledge that it exists.
So it appears Cerberus Daily News is making little or no effort at all to interview him directly, although maybe they are, and he's just smart enough to decline any interview from Cerberus.
Or he's that hard to find. That could be part of it, too, because he keeps escaping, so...
Right, yeah. Exactly. He certainly doesn't want a separate corporation's news entity knowing where he is.
Right.
Because that seems like it's asking to get caught. But infighting, I can see that happening. That seems legit. You know, Vorcha and Krogan. Vorcha, notoriously violent,
yes.
Hard to control. Krogan are not all strategic masterminds.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah,
and they're proud. And so if the Vorcha, you know, push back, they would push back against the Vorcha. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it sounds like this is actually a pretty bad sign for these resistance fighters, you know?
Yeah, if the information is correct, if this isn't just more, you know...
Propaganda.
Garbage, like, oh, well, they're falling apart, there's infighting.
Yeah, I think it could be propaganda, it could be, you know, exaggerated, but I also feel like it's quite likely, and if it is going on, fractured resistance forces are not good, they are already outnumbered and outgunned, they need every advantage they can get.
Yeah.
So, the next part of this update is pretty interesting. It says, corporate forces, or corporatist forces on Garvug are reeling today. So there has been a huge momentum shift now. Mm-hmm. It says that they're reeling as the Sonax Corporation's command ship, Excelsior, was destroyed in geosynchronous orbit over the planet. Comm traffic at the time of destruction suggests the Excelsior was destroyed by a warp bomb hidden in a supply ship cargo payload.
Nice. I was hoping it was a Skycar bomb that just somehow got into orbit.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. Goes... into light speed through the ship, yeah.
Right, but so wait, this is a supply ship. So it came from out of the solar system? It was a supply coming in?
It's a supply ship that was headed to Excelsior, the Sonax Corporation command ship. It was a supply ship headed to restock their things on that ship. So it was coming from out of system then.
Right, and as we've established previously, the Krogan and the Vorcha on the planet have a hard time communicating off the planet because they don't have the means to do so. So somebody must have set this up from other than them.
That's exactly how it sounds.
Yeah.
You know, the Krogan, almost as if the Krogan and Vorcha have some clandestine help coming from the outside now. But the big question is from whom? I can't imagine Clan Erdnot being sneaky enough to pull that off.
Maybe. I don't know. They might. I don't know. But again, we don't really know. So, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Someone has done this.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly doubt that this would be a false flag to destroy your own command ship.
No, yeah.
That's expensive.
That is big cost. It'd be one thing to be like, oh, one of our supply ships got blown up by something. But like the command ship?
Yeah, no. So the next part, it says the ship had a crew of several hundred people, none of whom are expected to have made it to the escape pods after the blast. It is known, however, there it is, that phrase, it is known. It is known, however, that Sonax's supreme commander, Lyra Spate, was on another ship doing troop review at the time.
That seems very fortunate. Like this smells a little funny compared to the previous messaging, because none of them made it to escape pods, which means nobody can report what actually happened. So either the attack was so sudden and such a surprise that it took down the ship without anybody being able to get out, or it was manufactured, like you implied, maybe a false flag thing, and they kept everyone from escaping in time.
Yeah, you know, I understand why nations pull false flags attacks sometimes, because they have to garner war support from the public. I don't know what the end game would be here if it were a false flag, to maybe galvanize investors, because I don't know, because if I'm an investor, I just think, more bad news.
Yeah, it just seems that
for Sonex.
Right. So maybe there's no reason to do it.
Right. Hmm. You know, so I don't know. Apparently, it could be Cerberus Daily News putting two and two together and implying that this was actually an attempted assassination, mm-hmm. that they just didn't succeed. And maybe that's true, because it was a safe bet, right, to assume that the Sonex Supreme Commander would be on the command ship.
What if it was like the Supreme Commander who was trying to get the job of Supreme Commander?
Oh, some corporate sabotage.
Yeah, corporate, like actual literal sabotage.
That would be a hell of a way to do it. But, you know, it is interesting that Spate made it out somehow alive. You know, a silver lining for investors, I guess, who are still, they're probably selling this stock faster than Spate can get to a camera for another awful PR statement.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of PR statements, are the Krogan capitalizing on this? You know, like, what about Clan Erdnot? Or are they even mentioning it or taking credit? Like, what's going on with that?
Both. So there is a very brief video uploaded from the surface of Garvug. It's just minutes after this attack happens, and it reveals Guerrilla Commander. This is how Cerberus Daily News describes Hylot Rund. Guerrilla Commander Hylot Rund apparently missing an arm. His statement was brief. You humans have an expression. Tag.
This guy's great.
That's it. That's the message. Yeah. This guy's wonderful. This guy's a master of speaking to the common denominator. Right?
he's a man of the people.
he's a man of the people.
Yes.
But he's missing an arm?
Right. Like, did he just avoid, I don't know, one of the attacks barely and lost an arm to it?
Or is this implying that he was somehow involved in that warp bomb and barely escaped?
I don't know.
An arm in the escape? I don't know.
Yeah.
Regardless, the guy's extremely fast at the PR game. Like the minutes after this attack. So this was planned, right? He was clearly aware that it was going to happen. And now with this video, he's trying to scare investors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it seems like they're kind of being pushed into a corner here. Like, time is running out on these investments for the corporations. It sounds like the Krogan are getting some sort of outside help, potentially, right? And the corporations have already gone through so much, you know, overkill on some level, to kill them and to basically get what they want. They're not just going to leave, right? Because we have a whole other episode to do. What is their response? It's got to be pretty big.
Yeah, they're too far in at this point. You know, their response is huge. They go fully scorched earth, or scorched Garvug, if you want to say. but that is something that we will get into next week, or not next week, 2 weeks from now in part four.
Yeah, we got to do our Patreon episode, and then we will wrap this up with seems like a scorched earth attack on these poor Krogan. Wow, this is quite the story. This has been super fun. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out and being here. And chat, thank you for joining us for the live show. Sam, you have anything you want to share before we wrap this up?
Yeah, of course. I am continuing my streams middle of the week on Wednesdays when I got time, streaming my first playthrough of Ghost of Tsushima. And then on Saturdays, I am doing my headcanon playthrough, modded Mass Effect 3. It's really fun. Been working around with my background. I don't know if you noticed, I put up some artwork. So there's some artwork behind me. There's a cool Citadel poster, like propaganda kind of poster, that I got at PAX a few years ago over my other shoulder. I've got a yellow Space Cow Crossing sign. So anyway, I'm working with putting up more artwork, giving myself a fun background for my streams, and episode 4 for the Avengers audio drama is still in the works. I'm also going to be at a gaming convention next month, Portland Retro Gaming Con. I'm going to be doing a panel with Genesis, who hosts the Cyberpunk Lorecast and Two Girls, One Ship. And we're going to be joining some other podcast hosts for like a family feud of video game trivia.
Oh, that's fun.
So yeah, that'll be, if you're anywhere in the Portland area and you're wanting to come say hi to me and or Genesis, then let me know. I'll be at Portland Retro Gaming Con.
Yeah, good luck. Kick their butts. You guys need to win that. Yeah, awesome.
That's the goal.
Yeah, that is the goal. Awesome. Well, have fun with that and say hi to Jen. And if you want to check out any of my other stuff, in fact, if you're tuning into the Rings of Power season 2, which is supposed to be even better than the first season, and you want to get behind the lore on J.R.R. Tolkien's crazy Middle Earth stuff, then go check out the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. It's another podcast I do where I explain all the stuff from the books that most people have a hard time reading. So go check that out on whatever you're listening to this on. You can also join us for our live shows or join me on the Robots Radio Twitch channel in order to check out my live streams. I've been playing games some more on there, things like crazy modded Skyrim and some other stuff. So come hang out with us. We'd love to have you. And thanks for being here again, everybody. We will be back next week with our patrons, and then we will wrap up this war story in 2 weeks. So we'll see you then. All right, everyone. Have a good night. We'll see you later.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.